Production management focuses on making farming and livestock activities more efficient and productivity. For crops, this means improving yields through scientific methods and such as crop rotation, integrated pest management, and better use of better seeds. For livestock, it means improving animal health and breeding practices to increase milk, meat, or egg production. Resource optimization is also central. Land, water, fertilizers, and labor must all be used widely to maximize output while protecting the environment. Take the example of dairy farmers in Gujarat. By using better cattle breeds, veterinary care, and balanced feed, farmers have doubled milk productivity. In Punjab, scientific methods like laser land leveling have reduced water usage and increased yields. Production management is not about moving from traditional practices to modern scientific. Production management is about moving from traditional practices to modern systematic methods, producing more with less. Production alone is not enough. Farmers must also market their products and deliver them to consumers efficiently. This is where marketing and logistics play a key role. Market linkages are essential. Farmers need access to reliable buyers, whether local traders, cooperatives, or retail chain. Supply chain stability is equally important. Transport, storage, warehousing reduce post-harvest losses and ensure quality is maintained until the product reaches the consumer. Grapes exported from Nasik to Europe require precise coordination between farmers, exporters, cold storage units, shipping companies, and retailers abroad. If any link fails, the produce can spoil and farmers lose income. Closer to home, in our company Revasa Farms, we have built a model in Thane where produce is consolidated from farms, packed at a central facility, then delivered to supermarkets and franchisee outlets. This reduces wastage, assures freshness, and gives small farmers a dependable route into modern retail. This shows that logistics and marketing are not side activities. They are the bridge that connect rural producers with urban consumers. In fact, in modern agriculture, marketing begins the day a seed is sown, because what you grow depends on what the market will buy. No business can run without finance, and agribusiness is no different. Farmers and entrepreneurs need access to funds, insurance, and investment for growth. The first element is credit facilities. Farmer must be able to borrow at reasonable interest rates to buy seeds, fertilizers, or equipment. The second is insurance products. Crop insurance, livestock insurance, and weather-based insurance protect against natural disasters. The third is investment planning. Long-term investments in irrigation systems, machinery, or food-producing plants require proper financial planning. For example, the Kisan Credit Card scheme has helped millions of farmers access short-term credit quickly. Similarly, NABARD rural funds rural infrastructure like cold storages, which benefits entire farming communities. When finance is accessible and affordable, agribusiness becomes more stable and profitable. Without it, farmers are left vulnerable to risks and cannot expand beyond subsistence farming. Policies and planning are critical for guiding rural growth in the right direction. The process usually has four stages. The first is needs assessment. Policymakers and rural managers must analyze the local challenges, resources, and opportunities. The second is program design. Based on the assessment, specific schemes are formulated. For example, irrigation projects, crop support programs, or skill development initiatives. The third stage is implementation. This requires coordination between government departments, NGOs, private players, and local communities. And the final stage is evaluation. Programs must be monitored, their impact measured, adjustment made for better inclusivity and efficiency. The Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana, for example, was planned after assessing rural connectivity gaps. implementation involved state agencies and contractors. Evaluation showed huge improvements in market access and school enrollment. This is how structured planning transforms rural areas. Policy is just not about documents. It is about designing and deliver real change. Technology has become one of the strongest tools for rural and agribusiness management. Information and communication technology, or ICT, is helping farmers make better decisions. Mobile apps today give real-time weather forecast, mandi prices, and even crop advisory services in local languages. Precision farming uses GPS, drones, and sensors to determine exactly how much water, fertilizer, or pesticide a crop needs. This reduces cost, improves yields, and protects the environment. Digital platforms are also transforming rural economies. E-commerce allows farmers to sell directly to consumers or retailers. Mobile banking, digital wallets give farmers safe and easy access to money. For example, today a farmer in a small village can receive payments instantly on his phone without needing to travel to a bank branch. One inspiring case is that of a potato farmer in Gujarat. With the help of digital platform, they receive orders directly from the chips manufacturers. The farmer gets fair prices, manufacturers gets a steady supply, and middlemen are reduced. This is how technology creates win-win outcomes in rural management. Rural areas are full of business opportunities waiting to be tapped. Entrepreneurship is not about big cities. Villages can also produce innovative ventures. The first step is identifying market needs. This may be something simple, like the demand for organic vegetables in nearby towns, or something very large, like a dairy supply chain. Next is developing business models that are sustainable. A group of farmers might set up a cooperative to produce honey, package it attractively, and sell it to urban markets. Scaling and collaboration are equally important. Entrepreneurs can partner with NGOs, cooperatives, government schemes to expand their reach. In Karnataka, rural women have built successful enterprises producing millet-based snacks. These ventures are small, but with support from cooperatives and digital marketing, they now reach local big city markets. Rural entrepreneurship is powerful because it creates jobs locally and adds value to farm produce, keeps young people engaged in their communities rather than migrating away to big cities. This field is not only about farming. It also opens many professional career paths. One option is working with agri-tech startups like Revasa Farms. These innovation-driven companies are designing technology solutions for supply chains, marketplaces, and farm productivity. Another option is rural development agencies, including government bodies and NGOs, which design and implement policies and schemes for inclusive rural growth. Financial institutions such as rural banks and microfinance companies also need skilled professionals to provide credit and insurance services. And of course, agribusiness corporations are always in need of managers to handle input supply, processing exports, and retail operations. Companies like Dihat and Vekul are hiring rural management graduates to handle supply chains. NGOs like Pradhan recruit professionals to work directly with rural communities. And banks like NABARD create policies and funding programs where young professionals can contribute. So rural and agribusiness management is a career field with wide choices, ranging from startups to corporates to development work. Let us now take stock of what we have learned so far. Rural and agribusiness management is a multidisciplinary field. It brings together agriculture, economics, technology, and social development. The demand for skilled professionals is growing because rural economies are becoming more complex and interconnected with global markets. The future holds innovative opportunities. Emerging technologies like artificial intelligence, drones, and blockchains are transforming agriculture. Policies are increasingly focusing on inclusivity, sustainability, and climate resilience. Today, this is opening up new possibilities for rural entrepreneurs and managers. For example, Blockchain can be used to trace farm produce from the village to the supermarket, assuring consumers of quality and safety. Similarly, climate smart farming techniques can help farmers adapt to changing weathers while still earning good incomes. The outlook is clear. Rural and agribusiness management is not just about today's challenges, but about shaping tomorrow's opportunities. Today's agribusiness systems did not appear overnight. They have evolved over centuries, shaped by history, economics, and technology. In early times, rural communities practiced subsistence agriculture. Families produced just enough for survival, with little surplus for trade. During colonial times, farming shifted to commercial crops. British policies forced peasants to grow indigo, cotton, and other cash crops for export. This often caused food insecurity and rural poverty. After independence, the focus turned to land reforms and equitable distribution, aiming to empower small farmers. Then came the Green Revolution in the 1960s and 70s. High-yielding seeds, fertilizers, and irrigation boosted production, making India self-sufficient in food grains. In the 1990s, liberalization and globalization integrated Indian agriculture into world markets. Supply chains modernized and private investments flowed in. Finally, in recent decades, we have entered the era of digital and precision farming. Mobile apps, drones, and data-driven decisions are redefining agriculture. This journey shows us that agribusiness is dynamic. It changes with every generation, and each stage brings both progress and new challenges. Historical milestones in the agribusiness. The story of agribusiness is not new. It has evolved through several important milestones that are shaped farming and rural economies. The first major milestone was the Green Revolutions in the 1960s and 70s, which introduced high-yield seed varieties, chemical fertilizers, irrigation improvements. This not only made India self-sufficient in food grains, but also transformed farming into a more commercial enterprise. The second milestone came up with the liberalization in 1990s. The opening up of markets allowed private players, contract farming, and agribusiness farmers to expand. This integration linked farmers more directly with consumers, retailers, and global supply chains. The third milestone is the digital era. Today, mobile phones, apps, and precision technologies are giving farmers access to data, finance, markets like never before. Agribusiness is no longer about production. It is about end-to-end solutions from farm to fork. Having seen these milestones, we can now reflect on how agribusiness has shaped rural development and what lessons we can draw from past. The Green Revolution is often called a turning point in Indian agriculture. In the 1960s, India was struggling with food shortages and depended heavily on imports. Then came a set of scientific innovations that changed everything. First, high-yielding varieties of wheat and rice were introduced. These seeds produce much higher output than traditional varieties. Second, the use of modern inputs such as chemical fertilizers, pesticides, and irrigation systems spread across northern India. Together, these changes dramatically boosted food production. By the 1970s, India had moved from becoming a food deficit country to becoming a self-sufficient in grains. This achievement saved millions from hunger. But the Green Revolution also had side effects. It created regional imbalances because states like Punjab and Haryana benefited much more than eastern India. It also led to environmental concerns, excessive use of water and chemicals, damaging soil health and groundwater levels. The Green Revolution was a true paradigm shift. It lifted India out of hunger, but also taught us the importance of balance and sustainability. The 1990s marked another turning point for Indian agriculture and agribusiness. This was the era of liberalization. When markets opened up and private sector participation increased, with economic reforms, restrictions on trade and investments were reduced. private companies began investing in seeds, fertilizers, food producing, and exports. Farmers gained access to international markets where they could sell products like basmati rice, mangoes, spices, and so on. Supply chain also modernized during this period. Cold storages, improved transport systems, better packaging helped reduce wastage and extend the reach of Indian products. But liberalization also brought in competition. Farmers were no longer protected from global price fluctuations. They had to adapt quickly, learning to meet international quality standards and consumer preferences. This period was like a double-edged sword. It created new opportunities, but it also gave new risks. For those who adapted, the rewards were huge. For those who did not, the challenges grew sharper. Still, liberalization laid the foundation of integrating Indian agriculture with the global economy. After liberalization came the digital revolution. Over the last two decades, technology has entered every aspect of agriculture. Mobile-based service now allows farmers to access real-time information about weather forecasts, crop diseases, and market prices. Apps in regional languages ensure that even small farmers can benefit. Drones and sensors are being used to monitor crop health, soil moisture, pest infestations with great accuracy. And data-driven decisions help farmers know exactly how much water or fertilizers to use. Reducing cost and improving yields. In Punjab, drones are being used to spray pesticides evenly across large wheat fields, saving both time and labor. In Maharashtra, grape farmers use sensors to monitor the sugar content, ensuring grapes meet export standards. These innovations show how precision agriculture leads, reduces uncertainty, and makes farming more scientific. What was based on guesswork is now guided by data. As agriculture has become more intensive, concerns about the environment have also grown. That is why the focus today is on sustainable and climate-smart agriculture. The first element is environmental resilience. Farmers are encouraged to adapt to climate change through crop diversification, water management, and soil conservation. The second is sustainable practices, such as using organic fertilizers, reducing chemical pesticides, and focusing on soil health. The second is sustainable practices such as using organic fertilizers, reducing chemical pesticides, and focusing on soil health. The third is policy support. Governments now provide incentives for renewable energy, organic farming, and climate-friendly techniques. Sikkim, India's first organic state, by banning chemical fertilizers and promoting organic methods, protected the environment while also creating a brand identity that boosted farmer incomes and tourism. This approach showed us that sustainability and profitability can go hand in hand. The future of farming lies in balancing productivity with ecological responsibility. True rural development requires an integrated approach, one that brings together governance, gender equality, and enterprise growth. The first aspect is participatory governance. Local communities must be included in decision-making because they know that their needs best. The second is women's empowerment. Women play a huge role in agriculture, and supporting them through training, finance, and leadership opportunities multiplies the impact. The third is enterprise-driven growth. Rural businesses, cooperatives, and startups can diversify the economy beyond farming. In Rajasthan, women's self-help groups have not only started small food businesses, but also taken leadership roles in local panchayats. This integration of governance, gender, entrepreneurship shows how powerful holistic rural development can be. When these elements work together, rural areas do not only survive, they thrive. Several government programs have been designed to modernize agribusiness and empower farmers. One is eNAM platform, which creates a unified national agriculture market, helping farmers get better price discovery. Another is farmer producer organizations or FPOs, which allow small farmers to come together, pool their resources, and gain a bargaining power. Financial inclusion schemes ensure farmers have access to credit, insurance, and digital banking. And extension services provide training, demonstration, and knowledge sharing to improve productivity. Take the example of FPOs. A group of vegetable farmers in Madhya Pradesh formed a producer organization. By selling collectively, they negotiated better rates with supermarkets and avoided exploitation by middlemen. Their incomes rose and they gained confidence as entrepreneurs. Such initiatives prove that when farmers are organized and supported, they can become strong players in the marketplace. As we conclude, let us reflect on the journey of agribusiness. It has evolved from subsistence farming to commercialization during colonial times to land reforms and the Green Revolution after independence to liberalization in the 1990s, now to digital and climate smart agriculture. Each stage has shaped rural India in profound ways. Today, the focus is on integration, combining technology, sustainability, and market orientation. The future is about resilience, inclusivity, and innovation. Agribusiness is no longer just about food. It is about livelihoods, national progress, and environmental balance. Think of it this way. The future of Indian economy will be written in its villages. Agribusiness is the pen that will write the story. And rural and agribusiness management is the discipline that ensures this story is sustainable, profitable, and inclusive. I want to sincerely thank you for your attention over the past hour. I hope this session has given you a deeper understanding of how agriculture and business come together to shape our nation's future. Thank you once again, and let's carry forward the vision of strengthening rural India for a stronger India.